JC2S, Part 1.
Number 11A.
So we come now to mind is truth and continue with the logic. We see here that the epitome is divine metaphysics rests on self-evident truth. Well, there's mind, which is the principle of divine metaphysics, rests on, and now the truth point, self-evident truth. Everything else is a lie or a denial. All right, now let's hear how that's brought out in the text. She says, the fundamental propositions of divine metaphysics are summarized in the following, to me, self-evident propositions. Even if reversed, these propositions will be found to agree in statement and proof, showing mathematically their exact relation to truth. De Quincey says, mathematics has not a foot to stand upon, which is not purely metaphysical. 1. God is all in all. 2. God is good. Good is mind. 3. God's spirit being all, nothing is matter. 4. Life, God, omnipotent, good, deny. Death, evil, sin, disease. Disease, sin, evil, death, deny, good, omnipotent, God, life. Which of the denials in proposition 4 is true? Both are not, cannot be true. According to the scripture, I find that God is true, but every mortal man a liar. The divine metaphysics of Christian Science, like the method in mathematics, proves the rule by inversion. For example, there is no pain in truth, and no truth in pain. There is no nerve in mind, and no mind in nerve. No matter in mind, and no mind in matter. No matter in life, and no life in matter. No matter in good, and no good in matter. So we see now this, we hear the sense of truth. Truth is always that which talks about the logic, the true logic behind something, that inner logic, that inner evidence. And so therefore we see here that divine metaphysics, mind rests on what she calls self-evident truth. Oh my. Something that the logical positivists would throw right out the window, wouldn't they? Because to that standpoint of philosophy, anything that isn't verified through sense testimony has no validity to truth. Certainly not any type of reasoning which is working only on self-evidence truth, where are only evident to themselves and not to sense testimony. So Mrs. Eddy says, well, that is the inner logic of God, that it is, that mind science is based on self-evident truths that are evident to itself through its pure logical reasoning. Something, as I say, philosophy will split hairs over as not being valid way of reasoning. If we can't do it from sense testimony, then you might as well forget it. So therefore, and I mean by that the philosophy of the logical positivist. So let's look at, here it says, as a marginal heading, reversible propositions. And here it talks about self-evident propositions, even if reversed, will be found to agree in statement and proof. So she's showing, I'll show you what I mean by a self-evident truth in Christian Science, and that it is based on, in divine metaphysic, reversal by the rules of inversion. This is therefore what I mean when I mean that something is self-evident. She says, well, if I make a statement, it's going to, that the statement and proof are going to agree. You're going to have oneness of statement and proof. And therefore, if I state that God is all in all, then by the rule of inversion, that the proof that all is in all is God, that is true. So if you say that God is all in all, then it's also true by inversion, the fact that all is in the all, God. So if one's listening to it, one says, all right, she says, if God is capital all hyphen in hyphen lowercase all, then she's saying by inversion, then it's just as true to say that lowercase all is in the capital all, God. Or if she says, if I say God is good, then by inversion, it's just as true to say then that good is mind, because we know mind is a synonym for God. Or she says, if I say God's spirit being all, is by the rule inversion proved by saying, knowing then that all being spirit is spirit God, that nothing is matter. And so she says that this type of inversion holds true only with statements from God, never from error. So she says, I can say that life, God, omnipotent, good, deny death, evil, sin, disease, but I can't go out from error and use inversion. She says, I can't go out from error and say, disease, sin, evil, death, deny good, omnipotent, God, life. She says, that isn't the kind of reasoning I can use, because she says, which of the denials in proposition 4 is true? Both are not. They cannot be true. So she's saying that that the reasoning can only be from God to set up these self-evident truths. So she says, let's show some more what I mean by it. And she says, I'll just keep this going here. And under the marginal heading, metaphysical inversion, she says, therefore, all these self-evident truths are only self-evident truths if stated from God. First, you have to have a true statement from God, and then by reversing the order, you arrive at a true statement about God. So, again, first the true statement from God, capital being. We then arrive at a true statement about God in lowercase being. So she says, this rule, by this self-evident truth, I mean through the rule in inversion, I can go out from a truth from God and say that there's no pain in capital truth. That is a truth from the standpoint of God, with a capital G, with a capital being, with a capital truth. And by reversing that order, then I will arrive at a truth about lowercase being. Therefore, there is no lowercase truth in pain. She says, now, if I stick to this rule of inversion and only can make it from a statement about God, then the statement is true that there's no nerve in capital mind. Now, by reversing that, I can arrive at a statement about being. Therefore, there's no lowercase mind and nerve. Or I can say there's no matter in the mind of God. And it's also true that there's no lowercase mind in matter. She said, I can say that there's no matter in life, God, and no life in matter. Or here she just goes out from a quality and says, well, it's reasoning from God, so it still holds okay. There's no matter in good, and therefore no good in matter. Now, she shows, therefore, in her scientific statement of being, you know, where she makes these statements about being, and that's a scientific statement about lowercase being, just regular being, that, you know, there she says there is no life, this is lowercase, huh? There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. Therefore, there is no lowercase life, no lowercase truth, no lowercase intelligence, no lowercase substance in matter. See, she's going out from arriving at a true statement of God. Because, you see, she shows, because there is no matter in capital life, and there's no matter in capital truth, and there's no matter in mind, which is intelligence, and there's no matter in spirit. Therefore, by reversal, I can say there is no life in matter, there's no truth in matter, there's no intelligence matter, and substance in matter. You see, that's that rule of inversion she's saying I arrived at and used in the scientific statement of being. That's what gave me the authority to make that scientific statement of being, was according to this self-evident truth, this inner logic of truth. So she says, upon then this self-evident mind, which we have here then as the epitome, that mind rests on self-evident truth. Everything else is a denial, a lie or a denial. Quite important to realize that that is what the inner logic of truth that is being used in Christian Science. Being well aware that that doesn't hold up to those who reason from a sensual reasoning, from sense testimony. But it is valid within the one valued logic of God. So she shows then her mind science is based on this self-evident truth. And then we go on to the next epitome, which would then be the conclusion of the subtones, developing the premise of the all mind. So we read here then that mind is love, that all mind now is one and all inclusive. Therein mortal mind disappears. So you see how a premise is developed step by step, logically to its conclusion through these law of the subtones. That we get the main tone, the all mind, which translates the belief of mortal mind out of itself back into the metaphysics of immortal mind. That was the main tone that is under discussion. How that all mind, through the Christ translation and retranslation, and will retranslate the belief of mortal mind out of itself back into the metaphysics of immortal mind, and that main tone is developed through its subtones. Showing, well, I'll show you how that all mind is the all mind. Therefore, mortal mind is and must be retranslated out of itself back into mind, that there is no mortal mind. I'll show you there's no mortal mind through the reasoning of these subtones first, starting out with the premise then that mind which is all in all, therefore all must be mind, therefore there's no mortal mind. It's an error. And I substantiate that by showing that all mind is the only reality. It's good, hence the awful unreality called evil, which can be discerned only through spiritual discernment. And therefore that all mind, which is the all in all, which is the only reality, which is only good, that all mind now rules through divine metaphysics, and it's reversing perverted and physical hypotheses regarding this one mind. Anything that goes against that, all mind is now going to be reversed, so that mind is principle. We only have the all mind as the one principle of the divine system of mind science, which is metaphysical healing, which is a dimensional principle. And therefore that all mind is a practical living science, is the one and only practical living science. Everything else is just dead, cold letter. And that all mind rests on that logic of which is a self, one-valued logic of the self-evident truth by the rule of inversion. Therefore, everything else is a lie or a denial of that one mind, which is all mind. And now she shows that all mind is one and all inclusive. So she says, now I come to the end of that proposition, and now I show you that all that's true, that there's only that all mind. It is one and all-inclusive, and therein mortal mind disappears. So she writes at the end of her logical presentation that the all-mind is the all, and therefore translates the belief of mortal mind out of itself back into the all-mind. So you hear now the tone of mind, the divine mind, and then is one and all-inclusive, that's love. Because love is always all-inclusive. And then therein mortal mind, that's the opposite of mind, disappears, the opposite of love. So let's hear how that is brought out in the body of the text, 114:1 to 116:19. So it's a bit of reading. But we just keep listening for the epitome. She says, usage classes both evil and good together as mind. Therefore, to be understood, the author calls sick and sinful humanity mortal mind, meaning by this term the flesh opposed to the spirit, the human mind an evil in contradistinction to the divine mind, or truth and good. The spiritually unscientific definition of mind is based on the evidence of the physical senses, which makes minds many and calls mind both human and divine. In science, mind is one, including noumenon and phenomena, God in his thoughts. Mortal mind is a solecism in language and involves an improper use of the word mind. As mind is immortal, the phrase mortal mind implies something untrue and therefore unreal. And as the phrase is used in teaching Christian science, it is meant to designate that which has no real existence. Indeed, if a better word or phrase could be suggested, it would be used. But in expressing the new tongue, we must sometimes recur to the old and imperfect, and the new wine of the Spirit has to be poured into the old bottles of the letter. Christian science explains all cause and effect as mental, not physical. It lifts the veil of mystery from soul and body. It shows the scientific relation of man to God, disentangles the interlaced ambiguities of being, and sets free the imprisoned thought. In divine science, the universe, including man, is spiritual, harmonious, and eternal. Science shows that what is termed matter is but the subjective state of what is termed by the author mortal mind. Apart from the usual opposition to everything new, the one great obstacle to the reception of that spirituality through which the understanding of mind science comes is the inadequacy of material terms for metaphysical statements, and the consequent difficulty of so expressing metaphysical ideas as to make them comprehensible to any reader who has not personally demonstrated Christian Science as brought forth in my discovery. Job says, "The ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat." The great difficulty is to give the right impression when translating material terms back into their original spiritual tongue. And then here we have the presentation then of what we have looked at, the first translation from Absolute Christian Science, the scientific translation of immortal mind, of God, divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, man, God's spiritual idea, individual, perfect, eternal, idea, an image in mind, the immediate object of understanding, Webster. Then the scientific translation of mortal mind, the first degree of depravity, physical, under the marginal heading of unreality, evil beliefs, passions and appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, revenge, sin, sickness, disease, death. Second degree, evil beliefs disappearing. Marginal heading, transitional qualities, moral. Humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, temperance. Third degree, understanding. Under the marginal heading, reality, spiritual, wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness. In the third degree, mortal mind disappears, and man is God's image appears. Science so reverses the evidence before the corporeal human senses as to make this scriptural testimony true in our hearts. The last shall be first, and the first last, so that God in his idea may be to us what divinity really is and must of necessity be all-inclusive. A correct view of Christian Science and of its adaptation to healing includes vastly more than is at first seen. And then notice the marginal heading, aim of science. Work on metaphysics, leave the grand point untouched. They never crown the power of mind as the Messiah, nor do they carry the day against physical enemies, even to the extinction of all belief in matter, evil, disease, and death, nor insist upon the fact that God is all. Therefore, matter is nothing beyond an image in mortal mind. All right, always, as we've seen in every subtone, a powerhouse of an expression, really a wealth of information, bringing out the tone of mind is love. So we then want to just step by step see the logic behind it. So we go to the first point that she brings out. Now, she is bringing out then here in the text, just quickly through selective reading, she shows then that mind through the operation of the Christ as the Christ is one and all inclusive. That's mind is love. And she says, I show that by showing you that mind is one, including noumenon and phenomena. I show you that is true by that mind is all cause and effect. And because this mind, which is one and all inclusive, is ever at work as the cause, the all cause and effect, therefore mortal mind disappears and man as God's image appears. So, She starts out to show this, and she starts out, first of all, by showing what is not that all-inclusive mind, which is mortal mind, which is just going to disappear anyhow. She says, I'll tell you what's going to disappear. I'll give you the definition of what's going to disappear. Therefore, in the marginal heading, she gives the definition of mortal mind, which is the opposite, with the tonality of mind, spirit, and soul as the opposite. So she says, all right, I'll show you that mortal mind is unscientific. It's just an unscientific definition about mind itself. It's really nothing. It's just an unscientific statement. It's a false classification. It's a false classification where usage falsely classes mind as both evil and good together. So she says, when both evil and good together are called mind, that's an unscientific definition of mind, and therefore I call it mortal mind. It's a mortal definition about mind. Therefore, mortal mind is sick and sinful humanity, the opposite of mind. It's the flesh opposed to the spirit, the opposite of spirit. It's the human mind and evil in contradistinction to the divine mind, the opposite of spirit. And therefore, mortal mind, she shows, the opposite of soul, is based on the evidence of the physical senses, which makes minds many and calls mind both human and divine. Again, showing us the exactness of this scientific revelation when we go out from that mind of Christ, how it reveals itself according to such an exact reasoning. Giving us now that which is going to disappear. It's going to disappear because it's an unscientific definition, which is the exact opposite of mind, which is the exact opposite of spirit, which is the exact opposite of soul. And she says, and I'll show you what the spiritually scientific definition is of mind. She says, from the standpoint of science, when defined, mind is, tone of mind, one of a one-valued logic of spirit, and is soul, including noumenon and phenomena, God in his thoughts. So she says that's really a scientific definition of mind from the standpoint of mind, spirit, and soul, insofar that mind is one of a one-valued logic, and in that one-valued logic you get reality at its deepest level, where the subjectivity and objectivity is one. That's what Schilling shows, isn't it? So that mind is one, including noumenon and phenomenon, God in his thoughts.